Let me, I will call Mac and, see whether he feels, that he's been over the testimony and knows your view on these matters.
What's your evaluation of the Kennedy statement?
I think it's bad myself. I was surprised that it was, had any of what it had, after Bob told me that he thought it wouldn't cause us much trouble.
I think it's tragic. I just think it's tragic. Everybody I've talked to thinks the same thing. And I think it's so presumptuous that I just leave some of the things he says. Well, one of the first things is he says that he doesn't want the Russians and the communists to be over gleeful because if he expected him to be elected president, because if he were elected president, he probably wouldn't, it wouldn't mean that he'd have an easy surrender himself. Did you ever hear anything that presumptuous? Listen, the senator in effect warned Russia, China, and North Vietnam not to anticipate a turn of events in which he would become president.
Yeah.
And quickly end the war on terms more favorable to the communist side. Well, hell, he don't have to come president to do that. That's what he's trying to do now.
Yeah. No, I think it has greatly weakened our position with Hanoi. It's going to mean that it prolongs the war, actually. It's another one of those things that keeps the other side going.
And I think it means a majority in the Senate against us, Dean. I honestly think that. I think the buys and the tidings and the two Kennedys and the Muskies, the general Catholic operation there, when the chips are down, they'll pick up enough cases and perhaps a Javits with the New York Times leveling that way.
Yeah.
And maybe a Scott, he hasn't yet. But I see the way the ADA and the liberals and how it flows, the ball. And if the Times keeps hitting us this way, well, we're just really going to be murderers. I told Clark Clifford a long time last night, he thinks that we would just be idiotic
to
ask for a new resolution.
Mm-hmm.
He says that resolution cannot be plainer than it is, that it is unlimited, that you cannot sit to what you do. You imply that you question yourself about what you've been doing. You imply to the people that, well, hell, you didn't have authority all along. I said the first thing you've got to do is make abundantly clear that you got all the authority you need as commander-in-chief. 160 times you've gone in. Number two, you got to make it clear that this treaty requires you to stand up to your commitment. Number three, you got to make it clear you wouldn't exercise any of these troops, wouldn't put them out there, and wouldn't start the bombing until they said they'd go in with us and we're all together and we're one nation, united, indivisible. Now then, he said, you come along and say, well, I want a new resolution. You imply that there's something wrong with this one, and said, would this one just last 18 months like the last one? And where the hell would you be? He says,
well, in the floor debate, in the Senate, it was pointed out and that the president has this authority.
Yeah.
And that this is a case of the Congress joining with the president.
That's
several
right.
Several of them made that point.
That's right.
Now, I think
that'd be one good thing, though, for George to point up that there's 160 times the president has gone in without a declaration of war to protect the interests of the United States, that the president has this constitutional power.
I think
this
I had was 125, Mr.
Well, whatever it is, yeah. Let him get it. They told me 163.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever it is, and or 23, I don't care. Just assert that he has it,
right.
Number one. Then number two, that the treaty comes along, and everybody debates that, and Foster Dulles, we've got to figure out that the liberals that were against him are not ever going to be with us anyway, but we've got to show that this is some of his handiwork, that he says that we have got to stop subversion, and we've got to stop the communist aggression, and if we notify them ahead of time, we've got a chance to do it. May not do it, we may have to stop them finally in our boots, but we ought to tell them ahead of time so they'll know what they're doing. And that is generally his position.
And that's what the Senate Foreign Relations Committee said in its conclusion.
That's right. Now then, they did that, and Mansfield and all of them signed it. So we have an obligation there, and the president wouldn't be worthy of his salt if he didn't do it, or else why have a treaty? And what would the Senate think about a president who wouldn't live up to a treaty?
Right.
That's number two. But this president says now he knows the Senate pretty damn well, and I don't think any of y'all that want to be nice to him can afford to be, say this bluntly. But the net effect is that he knows you so damn well, he knows you're going to run when the going gets tough, and therefore he wants you tied, bound, and delivered beforehand. And he says to Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, he will not PA drop until you come in with a resolution that says, number one, direct me to respond to armed attack, number two, authorize me to enforce this treaty, and number three, direct me to prevent any aggression. Now, that's what they did.
Right.
Now, he's in the process of doing that. And if you don't want any of those things done, we provided you a remedy. Anytime you want to change your mind and do a flip-flop, you can do it. But until you do, we just got to move. Now, I think that ought to be stressed a good deal so the people of the country know that this damn Senate that's wandering around, I was just talking to a good lawyer in New York, and he says what they're doing, they're confusing the people. The people don't see their alternative. They can't find what would you do. But they don't get it one time. When you just say once on television, what would you do if you were president of the United States?
Yeah.
That doesn't get through to them. You got to repeat it like Hitler did 20 times, and then maybe they do. And I think we've got to repeat this resolution and say, now, we don't say you can't debate. We don't say you oughtn't to debate. We don't say you oughtn't to discuss it all you want to. But we do say that this is what you've done. Now, if you don't want to do this, if you want to seat the communists, if you want to surrender to the communists, if you want to let them go on and have aggression, if you want to abandon the treaty, or if you do not think this is good national policy you enunciated, then repeal it. And the president's got no voice in it. Now, he'll go on fighting if he wants to, because he has that power anyway.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but I'm afraid that Mac and George could today, with this thing as vicious as it is, with the Kennedy infiltration all over the place, I'm afraid that out of that will come some commitment that will be a little bit difficult for us. I have a hunch this morning that they're going to say something like Averill said, that we ought to sit down in the Viet Cong. Now, I thought Averill just made a mistake, but in light of Bobby's statement, he may have kind of been paving the way a little. Because they're awfully close, and Joe Kraft's awfully close, and every damn time I called Averill twice to compliment him, and he's at Joe Kraft's house. And I just, I don't know how much of this is kind of a wing. You know, Bob McNamara has felt that while we ought to have limited objectives, that we ought to make it abundantly clear that we did not necessarily have to have everybody of our own choosing in this government, that it could be a communist government, and we could have some doubtful characters like we had in Laos. And he has said to me, not once, but I'd guess a dozen times, that if we would moderate our objectives and what we were fighting for there, we'd have more chance of succeeding. And he's also felt, which is a very dangerous position to me, and there's not a man in the government I'd say this to but you, not another one, but he's said to me a number of times that he thought that we ought to give serious consideration to this. And then when he said the other day that we only have one chance out of three of winning,
well, I know.
It just shocked me, and furthermore, it shocked everybody at the table.
Right.
It shocked Bill Moyer. It shocked Jack Valenti. Jack Valenti said, my God, I don't know what to do.
Well, Bob, quite frankly, Mr. President, he hasn't had too much experience in dealing with crises, and I just don't believe that, and I can't put out a slide rule and prove it, but the boys out in the field are proving it, and are proving that we can do better than that, and I just am absolutely sure myself that the other side is going to make some new decisions on this thing, and I don't...
They must be getting great encouragement, though. If this is causing us this much trouble, how much don't you know that they're enjoying it?
Yeah. Well, I get hold of George and Matt right away.
And what do you think our official response is going to be to the Kennedy statement?
Well, I think we ought to go back right back to your July statement. Just stay with that and say that...
I just say, would you be willing, do you agree with Senator Kennedy that we ought to appoint some Viet Cong ahead of time?
We can't
employ. I'm inclined to say, I may be wrong on this, but I'm inclined to say that we have made it abundantly clear that we're for free elections, that we will let the United Nations supervise them or anybody else that'll give us an honest, free election. And we're not in the business. That's just not our occupation at the moment, going around appointing communist governments.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and we believe in self-determination, and we don't believe in trading with the communists and appointing them.
Right.
Now, what's wrong with that?
I think that's right.
Okay.
I'll get hold of them.